Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hi again. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways. Great to be with you as always. I'm Mitch Lawrence. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the seaside golf capital of the world, is where I call home. Darren Bunch out there in Bakersfield in California, the California golf hub of the world. A lot of little-known courses that make Bakersfield the golf hub. You've heard about Monterey. You've heard about Pebble Beach, those places. Nah, Bakersfield is where it's at, mostly because Mr. Bunch is there. Darren, how you doing? We've got a great Emergency 9 coming up with our good friend Tom Mackin.
I think it's the golf scenery that you get in Bakersfield is what makes it so attractive as a golf destination.
Really? Would you care to describe the golf scenery? You can do it in probably like two sentences.
One course I play, Kern River, does not have a view of a river. It has a view of a man-made lake.
What's the name of the lake?
I don't know. Heart, Lake Heart.
So they call it Kern River, but there's no river and there's nothing with Kern that has anything to do with it.
Correct. Whereas up in Porterville, which is about 30 minutes away, there is River Island Country Club that has a river that runs through it, but there's no island.
Ah.
So
brilliant marketing.
I'm not exactly sure. Now, Sundale Country Club, which we've mentioned many times, is not sunny at all anymore because it won't let me bring my dog anymore.
So, won't, and it is not associated with a dale of any kind. So we're done talking about him.
That is true.
All right, let us get to one of our favorite people, as I said, for our Emergency 9 in a minute. We're glad you're with us. GolfNewsNet.com, iTunes Podcasts, Audio Boom is where you can find us. Download us on your devices, as the young kids say, Tom. Darren, you can find on social media at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me at both at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. Before we get to Tom and all the places around the world he's been, all the things he's done, and some great information I'm putting pressure on, we want to thank our sponsor, GoGolfKauai.com, Darren.
Yes. How come you don't just jump right in and start talking about Go Golf Kauai? It's never a bad time to talk about the islands, and our friends over at Golf Package Pros have launched a brand new golf packaging site to help with everything you need for your next great golf getaway to our favorite island, and that is Kauai.
All right, the reason I did that is so I get to say these words, because I was tired of you saying them.
You really want to say Hokuala, don't you?
The word of the day is Hokuala. Which means the best of the Hawaiian Islands in Hawaiian. You can use GoGolfKauai.com, the website. You can book five different golf courses, including the picturesque Hokuala, formerly Kauai Lagoons, Poipu Bay, Princeville Mackay, Puakea, Waialua, and three amazing places to stay: the Courtyard Kauai at Coconut Beach near Waialua, Kauai Marriott Resort next door to Hokuala, and the Grand Hyatt Kauai, which Darren loves because of their water slides and their entire water park.
I also love Coconut Beach. That just sounds so soothing, so nice, so tasty. I just like the idea of staying at Coconut Beach.
Thank God you didn't say yummy like you did last time.
Hey, and also if you, Puakea, which you mentioned, is one of those places where I think they filmed Jurassic Park right up the hill from Puakea. So one of many golf courses and many locations throughout the islands that you can go explore if you have a love for the Jurassic Park franchise.
And great, if you want to have velociraptors involved in your golf game, that's the place to go. The family-run, friendly Golf Package Pros team at GoGolfKauai.com. You're going to get great service, expert assistance, a perfect golf getaway, not just for you, but for your family as well. For more about booking your next great golf getaway, visit GoGolfKauai.com today. All right, so let us get to We love emergency nines. We hope the listeners do too. But to us, I know Darren and I both feel like this is a chance to really get deep with our guests, because it brings out different parts of what they love about the experience of playing golf. This one is going to be, I know, up there. It's going to be, if not the best, in the top two. And I won't let on who the other one was. Tom Mackin is going to join us, again, native of Bayonne, New Jersey. I want to ask you about that, Tom, but from Bayonne originally, now living in the Scottsdale area, senior editor at Troon Golf and Travel Magazine, and a man who has written articles for more magazines than you could ever mention in one Emergency Nine podcast intro. Welcome, Tom Mackin, to your Emergency Nine.
Great to be here. Thanks, guys.
Before we get to that, I mentioned Bayonne, New Jersey, and now Scottsdale, Arizona, so they're very similar places. As we know,
in that they're both in the United States. Yes,
correct. And that was the one thing that I was going for. But growing up in Bayonne, just quickly, did you play golf growing up? And when you're now in the Scottsdale area, do you get back to Bayonne? Do you get back to Jersey? Other than just to write articles, do you still have ties back there?
Did not grow up playing golf in beautiful Bayonne. Is a bit of an urban environment, shall we say? Wiffle ball was the preferred sport. Back in my day growing up. But yes, do get back frequently. Was back there last week, in fact, and saw some old friends, had some great pizza in my old hometown, which now, shockingly, is home to a fantastic private course called the Bayonne Golf Club. So it still stuns me to see that private club is there, and that is a beautiful link-style course right on New York Harbor. For having grown up in that city, that was the last thing I had ever thought I'd see in beautiful Bayonne.
Yeah, that's an unbelievable project. Unbelievable project to me. I grew up in New York, and I'm with you. Bayonne would never have been a place where you would say, let's go play golf.
And almost as surprising, sure. Mitch, as you know, is in Jersey City, right next door, or as I like to call it, a suburb of Bayonne. you have Liberty National Golf Club, which I actually caddied at for two summers a few years back, and that's right on the waterfront, and it's actually hosting a President's Cup. When I think about those two places in those two areas, it just kind of blows my mind.
All right, let's get to the Emergency 9D, and Tom, I know, as I said, we've been looking forward to this, so let's jump right in. The first question, your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world?
Let's go to the Highlands of Scotland. To a place called Brora, which is a James Braid design from early 20th century. And it's a place not many people get to or even hear of. It's a good 30 minutes north of Dornoch, which more people know about. But I got introduced to Brora by my good Scottish golf writer friend Malcolm Campbell. 6,000 yards on the sea, nothing fancy at all. There are actually cows and sheep roaming the golf course because the land is leased from local farmers. And for some reason, I just fell in love with the first time, and everyone who goes to Scotland, I tell them it's worth the journey to get to Brora Golf Club.
Now, we've done about 70 episodes of the podcast, Tom. I'm sure you've listened to every one of them, but in case you haven't, Brora has been mentioned somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 times. We have talked about it, Mitch and I, at length. We've had other people who we didn't expect who have brought it up. And we've mentioned you many times, and that the only reason I've played Brora is because on the trip that we took a couple years back, which you were also on, we added Brora to the trip specifically because you spoke so highly of it. And I mean, it's unforgettable. In fact, as we drink our Highland Park today during the Emergency 9, I'm drinking mine out of a Brora snifter that I picked up on that trip. And
As am I, Darren.
Yeah, it's unforgettable. My only regret of that trip is that we didn't go around more than once, because I think if I were going back to that region of Scotland, and I hope I will soon, I would stay up there and try to play it like even a couple days, two or three rounds, because it's such a fun golf course and such a different experience than I think almost anywhere else in the world.
It's never going to be a top 100 course. Technically, I don't think any architecture expert would say it's a great course, but I like it. It's fun. I love the setting. I love the no-nonsense about it. I love the fact that there's not, you know, tour buses pulling up in the parking lot. You know, I love the fact that it's just low-key and you can go wander the course, you know, after you're done playing, and you know, where else are you hitting a shot over a very large cow that is in play? So those are just some of the reasons why I love Brora.
All right. So you've been many places. If people listen to the previous episode, we talked about New Zealand. We've talked about your work for Pebble Beach. We've talked about you going to Canada. What's at the top of your golf travel bucket list? Where haven't you been that is right there at the top of where you need to go and you're hoping to go and hopefully in the coming years?
Well, all four of my grandparents came from Ireland back in the 20th century and very proud of my Irish heritage. I am embarrassed, however, that I've never played golf up in the northwest region of Ireland, especially since my mother's mother is from Mayo and my mother's father's from Donegal. So that is the one place I want to get to sooner than later and play the great courses up there that I've heard so much about, like Ballyliffin, Donegal, Carn, Ross's Point, and the list goes on. So Northwest Ireland is at the top of my list currently.
Have you been over to the others? Have you done Royal County Down, Ardglass, Portrush, Port Stewart, those courses?
I would extend that trip onward. I've played Royal County Down, and it's everything people say it is, but I would like to see the other ones you mentioned too. So since my preferred destination is up in that corner of the world, I think I can slide on over a bit to the east and check out those places.
I just like to keep mentioning the fact that I've been to those places and Mitch hasn't. So just very recently.
Yeah, thanks, Darren. Appreciate that. Because this is all about Tom, as we know. All right, Tom, let's move on. You stayed in, by my count, 1,128 places.
Correct.
Writing. What's the best place you've ever stayed?
That's a tough one. This is very over-privileged area for me to talk about. I've been very lucky and fortunate. The recent trip to New Zealand, which I know, Mitch, you haven't been to yet, correct?
That's correct. Right. And Darren, you can stop sending him checks.
There is a great hotel right in the heart of Queenstown called Eichardt's Hotel. And I was fortunate enough to stay in their brand new penthouse, which is a third floor luxury lodging with an outdoor deck that overlooks a massive lake right in the heart of Queenstown, outdoor hot tub. And to be at that place was something special. It was some place to be.
That's amazing to me. Of all the places you've stayed, that one literally was your favorite. I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying that there's so many, it has to be spectacular if that jumped to the top of your list.
Look at the website, Eichardt's Hotel in Queenstown. Check out the penthouse and the views. You can disagree with me if you want, but that's one of the best places I've been to.
Well, I would never disagree. I wasn't doing that. I was just kind of, it was interesting to me and another reason for me to want to get to New Zealand, which
Correct,
is great.
Sir.
Do you have a couple others, Tom, that jump to the top of your head?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the Old Course Hotel, waking up and overlooking the most famous golf course in the world is pretty cool. The Lodge at Pebble Beach, you know, again, to walk out your door and be standing overlooking the 18th hole was pretty cool. There are a dozen places in Hawaii, but I think it's because you're in Hawaii, just waking up with the palm trees and the great weather there. So the list could go on and on and on, but I know we have limited time here.
It's funny about the people who mentioned the lodge at Pebble Beach. Of all the times I've been to Pebble, including my honeymoon, I've never stayed at the lodge. I've always stayed at the Inn at Spanish Bay, which is, you know, makes my list of the 18 best places I've ever stayed. And one of these days I'm going to go and I'm going to stay at the lodge. So, we have eaten some food together, you and I. We've mentioned Yum Yums on the earlier broadcast that you turned me on to. What is the single best thing you have ever eaten on a trip and where?
Besides Mars bars.
Yes, other than Mars bars. Yes, the vaunted Mars bars. I think I would go back to, I think it was 2006 on the west coast of Ireland. Just played Doonbeg at the time and we went into town there, the local little village there. And I forget the name of the restaurant, but it was there that I was introduced to the wonders of sticky toffee pudding.
Oh.
And the research into finding the ultimate version of that has continued. I know Darren Bunch considers himself an expert as well, but that was the first time I met my old friend Sticky, and I visited with him every time I go over to the UK. Tell you how much I liked it. I actually took a cooking class with my wife last year and requested that I get to cook sticky toffee pudding, which I did fairly successfully.
Wow.
Did you cook, we've mentioned before on the show that we had a wonderful gentleman who was our tour driver on our recent trip to Scotland. His name was Colin Harris. One of the things he gave me at the end of that trip was his wife's family recipe for sticky toffee pudding. And I have yet to actually try to make it. You didn't make the Harris recipe for sticky toffee pudding, did you?
Did not make the Harris recipe, but I did send him a picture of my finished product and he gave his approval, which really says it all.
Oh, that's beautiful. I think you were with me the first time I ever sampled the sticky toffee pudding, and that would have been during one of those wonderful lunches at Muirfield that we partook together. And then the minute I had a piece, I was absolutely hooked. I look for it everywhere. I ate it all through Scotland. I've eaten it all through Ireland or Northern Ireland on my recent trip. I have even found a few places here in the States. There is a young woman who runs a place called The Loft in Bandon, Oregon, and she makes a pretty mean sticky toffee pudding of her own.
You know, I now realize why I'm getting the calls from your cardiologist bunch. Yum yums, Mars bar, sticky toffee pudding. I'm trying to kill you, aren't I?
Yeah, but it's your fault, Tom.
That's all on you.
Oh, yeah. Mitch, you encourage me to keep doing it to him, so I guess it's our fault.
Yeah, that's true. The quicker the better, as far as I'm concerned.
You just named my entire diet. Yum yum, sticky toffee pudding, and Mars bars. I could live on just those things.
Washed down with some scotch.
Some Highland Perfect. Park 18.
Yes. Perfect. All right, can we move on, you two foodies?
Move ahead.
I sense a show on the Golf Channel. The search for sticky toffee pudding. All right, let's move on. Besides the golf and the people, which all of us know really what the trips are about, what is there anything else? What's the most important thing to you on a trip besides those two things?
The weather, which I can't control.
Okay. And could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, think about it. I mean, you know, you kind of expect bad weather over in Scotland, but you know, you don't want it pouring rain and heavy winds every single day of your trip. So, you know, that plays a huge part in, I think, the success of a golf trip. But sadly, you know, like Darren's putting, we have no control over it. So.
Ooh.
Oh, the shot Ooh. To the gut.
Out of nowhere, the roundhouse right.
My goodness.
Bunches down.
I learned that move from Chuck Wepner, the Bayonne bleeder.
Oh, there you go, man. There you go. See, now you're in my wheelhouse. All right. Well, the weather, I have to say, how many emergency nines have we done, D?
Oh, I don't know. A lot. 30.
A lot. But yeah. The weather, that's the first time, as always, T-Mac being original and unique. It's a great point, though.
Let's move on, though. What's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment you can't live without?
Sun Mountain Club Glider travel bag.
Nice. That's the one with the little pop-down wheelie thing?
Yeah, the wheels, it's a travel bag, but the wheels pop out underneath, so you can pull it with your pinky. It's probably saved my rotator cuffs and wrists and tendons in my elbows with all the golf travel I'm lucky to do. But the guy that invented that, I think, is a golf hero and should be recognized more so because, and I still get questions about it from people in airports like, hey, where'd you get that? You know, golfers dragging along other bags that don't have those pop-out wheels, and you know they're struggling with the weight of it. And this was just a great invention, the Sun Mountain Club Glider travel bag. So that's one piece I can't live without.
I wish I could find a hard case that did that that had that same functionality because I actually used the Club Glider for a number of years, and when I moved to the Hickory Clubs and wanted to have something that was a hard case to protect them. I had to go to a SKB bag, but if I could find one that was a hard case that had the flip out wheels, it would be the perfect world for me.
We have a glider also, and it is the greatest invention since, as the great Mel Brooks said, liquid Prel. Let's move on. That is a reference that is so far-fetched to most people. But if you listen to the 2,000-year-old man, you'll understand. What is your handicap T-Mac. What tees do you like? We've played with you before. We know you can play from anywhere. But do you have a preferred tee and yardage that you like to play from to give maximum enjoyment?
Well, I believe you both heard me say, when in doubt, move up the tee box. So I would say 6,500 is enough for me, but I would be willing to go much lower. And one of the bets I have is if you get paired up with some guys that insist on playing the tips, I'll tell them, yeah, sure, go ahead. But I'll bet you $100 that if we play from the very forward tees, you're not going to shoot five strokes better than your regular score. No one's taking me up on that, but I do like to say it. So
that's a good way to approach it and try to get people to do it. I played just on this recent trip to the RTJ trail. I played with Catherine Dyson, who's a writer who we all know. And she was playing from the forward tees, which were the teal tees on the course we were on. And I just went up with the hickories and played with her from that. And the two guys with us in the group, a Canadian writer and then one of the guys from representative of the trail, played from the resort tees. And they banged it all over the lot and looked for golf balls all day. And I think I shot 82 or something like that. So it was a fun day. And I think more people would be happier if they just would move up and play the game from what is probably more akin to their talent level than they realize.
And they'll have more fun.
Do you know what Ryan Ballingy, our esteemed partner at Golf Newsnet, has said, Tom?
I do not.
Because he can play and he can hit it a long way. And when somebody says, we asked him about moving up to the forward tees, he says, until I shoot 54 from up there, I'm very willing to go up there.
Right.
Which I thought was a great way to look at it. He's just kind of going, yeah, what? Who cares?
Yeah.
Yep. Tom, who, excluding Mitch and I, you've played with both of us, but who is the most interesting person you've ever golfed with?
Alice Cooper.
Hey!
Yeah, from Arizona here. Great guy. I get paired up with him at an event, and, you know, it's kind of intimidating meet a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, especially one with the type of onstage persona he has, but could not have been a nicer guy. Very friendly. Great golfer, by the way. Plays fast, so another good reason to play with him. And he just met me, introduced himself, said, hey, I'm Alice. I said, I know. And I said, I'm T-Mac. Oh, where are you from, T-Mac? I said, New Jersey. He right away, hey, you want to hear some Springsteen stories? Sure I do, Alice. And he proceeded to spend 18 holes telling me great stories about, you know, playing with Springsteen. And just, he was name dropping, but in a way that was not ostentatious. He was just rattling off stories left and right, you know, and it was so cool to hear his stories and his experiences out on the road. And, you know, he's played more golf courses than the three of us combined. So we wound up talking a lot about golf too, and, you know, music and his career, and just a really cool guy and great fun to play with.
He is an insane golf junkie.
He said he plays 6.5 days a week.
Do you know what's cool, T-Mac? When I was living in L.A., I used to play a lot at these public courses in the Valley, Encino and Balboa golf courses. And Alice Cooper was out there all the time.
Yeah.
As big as he was, that's where he liked. I mean, he played other places, obviously, but he loved playing those public courses. He'd be there at 7 a.m, look for a game, just go out by himself. I didn't get to play with him, but it was always amazing to me. You can tell, obviously, how much a guy loves the game when he's just out there to play. Doesn't really care where.
Well, as he frequently says, he traded one addiction for another addiction.
Right.
Golf is the second one. I'll let you guess what the first ones were, but it saved his life. He said it, you know, it just traded one focus for another. And, you know, with his travel schedule, he just sets up his tours and says, well, during the day, I'll play all the great courses. And that's what he's done. And I'll tell you, he'd be a great podcast topic for sure.
Well, we're going to get in touch with him and tell him you recommended him.
Tell him T-Mac said it. Yeah, I'm sure he'll remember
T-Mac me. T-Mac sent you. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. This is it would have been up until recently your last Emergency 9 question, but we have a bonus question for you. But what's the one golf course you wish everyone knew about?
And it can't be Brora, correct?
It can't be Brora, because you've already mentioned Brora, and because we've all said Brora so many times on this show in response to this question.
I'll go with another one that starts with a B. And an R, actually, down San Antonio way, Brackenridge Golf Course. just outside the downtown area in in San Antonio. Really cool course that was redone, probably 2008 now, and they restored it to what it originally was. And I believe they have the Texas Golf Hall of Fame there now. I could be wrong about that, but I think so. But again, 6,300 yards, maybe a lot of old trees, framing fairways, a couple of square greens, a couple of square bunkers. Really cool old place that I don't think many people know about. And it's an affordable rate, at least it was last time I saw it. Public course. So Brackenridge might be one I'd suggest people check out if they're in the greater San Antonio area.
I was going to ask you about the square greens because it seems like I had heard that somewhere. And it's a very old course, right? I mean, despite the renovation, but.
Yeah, they used to host the big pro event there back in the 30s and 40s. All the big names came through. They play there. But I'd have to do some research to get more information about the Brack, as they call it. But really fun course.
Nice. The bonus question is, we've had people tell us various stories, and so we decided to add this as the question. We want you to tell us your best golf course story. What's the coolest, weirdest, craziest thing you've ever seen or done yourself on a golf course?
I love the bonus round. This is so cool. So, had the privilege of traveling to South Korea to play some golf. Was at an ultra-private club over there called Whistling Rock Golf Club, just east of Seoul, kind of northeast of Seoul. We're playing the course with a bunch of riders, doing our thing, female caddy with a remote-controlled golf cart that seats five and holds all four bags. So that's cool. We're playing a hole and is set in a kind of a hilly environment. And as we're playing one of the par fours there on the back nine, a military helicopter comes flying over the hill near us and pretty low over the course, like, huh, that's interesting. And the caddy kind of giggled. So we continue playing on. Maybe 5 minutes later, a military plane comes flying over the same hill and swoops in low over the course. Like, okay, that's two times that happened now. Something's going on here. Are we, you know, is there a situation? We later learned that the Whistling Rock Golf Club was, and I'm approximating here, maybe 20 miles south of the DMZ.
Oh, my God.
And that they often run military drills. Now, you know, we travel a lot and you kind of lose perspective. You know, you're on a golf course focusing on your game. But that certainly enlightened us as to the exact location we were playing a beautiful golf course in. But knowing that roughly 20 miles away, maybe 30, there were some serious things going on. As they are today, I believe. So that was a fairly crazy experience over in South Korea, which is a beautiful country and Seoul's a great city. And they love their golf over there, that's for sure.
It's funny. We had Jason Deegan from Golf Advisor on the show talking about Whistling Rock. I'm guessing you guys might have been on the same trip.
Yeah, I actually was forced to play with him all four rounds while over there. So,
so he talked about the remote control carts and the caddies and all of that, but he neglected to talk about the military plane flyover. That is really something.
It was unnerving at best. You know, it was it didn't affect Deegan's game because, you know, you've seen Deegan play, but it affected mine. So.
Unnerving at best.
Oh my God.
I love that. I love that. We'll have to get back to Deegs and let him. There's got to be some kind of response. All right. That does it, T-Mac. I know you want about 20 more questions, but this has been fun as we knew it would be. A lot of great information. I'm hoping that people have learned some stuff as we have. I thought I knew you a little bit, but there were always surprises, which is what makes you so great.
Well, it was a pleasure being on the show. It was about time, frankly, and I look forward to the next appearance.
Oh, it'll be there. Trust me. Darren, any parting words for Tom?
No, I think we've said everything we can possibly say to Tom.
There you go. T-Mac, you've shut him up, which is just glorious. I wish I could award extra bonus points.
You're welcome, Pitch. I'll see you guys down the road somewhere sometime.
Okay, man. Safe travels. And as always, thanks to our sponsor for this podcast, GoGolfKauai.com, brought to you by the great folks at Golf Package Pros. Darren, got to thank the listeners.
Oh, we couldn't do it without them. Hit us up on the Twitters, @GetawaysGolf for me, @MitchLawrence. for Mitch. And if you can't spell Lawrence by now after listening to this show, you probably should stop listening to the show.
True. Agree.
Hashtag talking golf getaways, hashtag emergency nine, hashtag two haggis bags, or when we've got Tom Mackin on the show, maybe it is hashtag three haggis bags. Use any of those hashtags to get our attention.
It is definitely three haggis bags. As a matter of fact, I think Tom will be the first member of the Haggis Bag Hall of Fame. That's what I'm voting for. If you enjoy us, share us, talk about us on social media, because all we want to do is share the word about the best in golf travel. And as our great friend Tom Petty would say, we hope you keep running down your dream. We'll talk to you soon. So long.